All right, back on TYT, Cenk and Anna with you guys. Jessica, with a whole bunch of numbers next to her name, writes in, FFS, what does that mean, by the way?
For F's sake.
Oh, huh. Anyway, watch yesterday's post game. We tag our damn luggage, she says, when we fly. What does that say to the world? We value our luggage more than babies and small children.
Yeah.
Be Mad writes in on Twitter, what police brutality is to black people is ICE to Latinos. We don't want it reformed. We want it to be abolished. Hashtag abolish ICE. Jim Lawrence writes in on YouTube Super Chat, I'm getting PragerU propaganda ads on TYT videos. I bet you don't have much control over the ad selection, but those ads are extra bad. No, we don't have control over it, but there's also an extra good part of it.
Yeah, totally.
Dennis Prager accidentally paying us. Okay, I don't suspect that a lot of you are going to be like, oh, Prager University, where we learn to hate people. Maybe I should check that out. Mm-hmm. Okay. Maybe they're advertising to the trolls who are the first ones on the videos.
Did you know that they're headquartered in Sherman Oaks, California?
Yeah, yeah, he's from LA. Yeah. They live among us.
Yeah.
All right, GNIM, EM says, if we get Kavanaugh, we should have him and Gorsuch recuse themselves from any Trump investigations, enforced with impeachment from the court, seven justices, how do we get traction? Love your show. Well, that's a unique idea. I never thought about that. Already you're getting a little bit of traction. Mm-hmm. You just made it onto the Young Turks, and now people know about it. Okay, interesting thought. And Amir, by the way, and it's not an unprecedented thing, Elena Kagan used to work for the Obama administration and recused herself many times mm-hmm. when it came to issues surrounding administration actions. So, interesting thought. Amir Hakim says, if the government, this is all on YouTube Super Chat, if the government or the next doesn't bring Trump, et cetera, all up on these crimes, we need an American spring. We must take back our country from these monsters. We must be hashtag too strong for this. Okay, Amir, I like it. All right, Anna, you got something coming up that's fascinating.
Yes, I do. All right, so I have some exciting news. At least it's something I'm very excited about. In the coming weeks, I will be moderating a panel at Aussie Fest. It's one of the largest festivals of music and political discussions in the country. It's going to be July 21st to the 22nd. And you guys will get a special discount if you use the code TYT when you're buying your ticket. So again, you'll get 30% off your ticket if you're interested in going by using the code TYT. So what moderating will I be doing? I'm actually going to moderate a panel that has Chelsea Handler and Senator Kirsten Gillibrand on it.
Yeah.
Super excited because Senator Gillibrand has really moved to the left on a lot of different issues, and I want to talk to her about her motivations, and I think it's going to be a fascinating conversation. So please check it out if you're in the New York area or if you're planning on traveling there. It should be a fun time, and there's going to be like music and stuff there too.
Yeah.
Like, it's not all about me, trust me.
Yeah, and also obviously on the panel, Ozzy Osbourne, since it was named after.
Exactly.
Oh, it's not? That's a different thing? Oh, okay. All right.
You're such a dad with your jokes.
I know, right? Jack Osbourne, by the way, was on Pop Trigger recently. You should check that out.
Yeah.
All right, what's next, Anna?
All right. California malls are sharing some of the license plate information that they've aggregated with ICE. This is a strange story, but it's happening, and it should concern anyone who's concerned about or worried about the government spying in on us or tracking us or becoming too large. So in this case, a chain of California shopping centers appears to be sharing its license plate reader data with an ICE contractor, giving that agency the ability to track license plate numbers it captures in near real time, okay? So just to give you some more specific detail into this, the company that ICE has contracted with is known as Vigilant Solutions. So Irvine Company shares that data with Vigilant Solutions, a private surveillance tech company that sells automated license plate recognition equipment to law enforcement and government agencies, in this case, specifically ICE. ICE has finalized its contract with Vigilant Solutions, or had, in January of this year.
So sometimes ICE will show up to places, and you wonder how they got there, and And sometimes they've gone after people who made political speeches against the government, and they're like, haha, you're undocumented, and somehow they show up at the speech, etc. And there might be a great variety of reasons for that, but reading this story, I thought maybe this is one of the reasons. And we didn't know to what degree they're collecting people's information. And look, we've now done a couple stories where they accidentally rounded up American citizens too. And so there's a lot of reasons why people want to abolish ICE. But now, if you're, I don't think this is purely a liberal issue. If you're a libertarian or you're a conservative and you care about your privacy and you're worried about big government, they're gathering up, and by the way, some of the private company guys are making money off of it too. They're gathering up all your private information and they're sending it. They're not sending the license plate of just undocumented people. They're sending the license plate of all the people at the mall. Now, if you just went to the mall and got an ice cream cone, okay, nobody cares, and you think, what's the big deal? Now, guys out there and women might be different, but have you went and gotten illegal marijuana somewhere, okay? Or maybe illegal marijuana, depending on the state that you're in. Gone to maybe a massage parlor. And the list goes on and on and on. And they have your license plate. But don't worry, big government won't use it against you, probably.
But like, even if you haven't done anything wrong, are you okay with a government agency that's meant to deal with immigration constantly keeping track of where you are? Are you comfortable? I'm not even comfortable with these, you know, tech companies aggregating this data and then selling it for billions of dollars. I mean, this should all concern you. I mean, especially if you're a person who thinks that the government is too powerful and you want to do whatever you can to dial that back. This is the definition of big government. So,
yeah, and Anna, let alone the bad actors that will invariably get into the system because they're human beings. So whether it's some guy at the private company that's collecting your information or the government, what if it turns out they know you? And they're like, hey, I know that license plate and I know the other one. And they catch you having an affair. They tell your wife because they want to sleep with your wife. I don't know. There's a million scenarios.
Totally something Trump would do, which he did do.
That's right. He did it to his friends because he's a terrible, terrible human being. So, you know, that's why you don't want big government. That's why our Constitution protects us against it, saying they should not be unreasonable searches and seizures without a warrant. But they don't have warrants for any of this stuff. There's no reason to suspect you, but they're collecting your information anyway. And what if one of those guys doesn't like you and wants to use it against you? Not officially, but unofficially, or leaks it, etc., etc. And that's why you're not supposed to use it, get information without a warrant. And by the way, Brett Kavanaugh, the Trump Supreme Court pick, has said that the government collecting metadata on you is not a violation of the Fourth Amendment, even though it is clearly on its own, on its face, clear reading of the language is it's a violation of the Fourth Amendment. He goes, yeah, but the government's doing it and I like the government. So yeah, I'm gonna let him collect all your information.
Well, he likes the government when there's a Republican in power. I'm sure that he might have a change of heart if there's a Democratic president who's sanctioning this type of behavior.
Yeah, but either way, and Rand Paul, you know, says, "Oh yeah, I'm concerned about that." He's going to vote for Brett Kavanaugh. Already, there's reports out that he'll put up a mild fight and then vote for him. Of course he will, because they're all hypocrites. They're for the powerful, and they don't care about you. And so the minute Kavanaugh got into the Bush administration, he's like, "Oh, the president should be untouchable."
Right.
And now he's a judge. He's like, "Well, the government should be untouchable. We should get all of your information, and you should know nothing about us."
Unbelievable. All right, let's take a little break from all the negative news and talk about something positive, because there is something good in the news today. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has just learned something shocking. And I mean, it's not really shocking when you know her as a candidate and what her values are. But she has just learned and tweeted the following. Shockingly, I'm told this is not a joke. We have also won a primary in the neighboring 15th congressional district via write-in campaign on the reform line. While I'm honored that so many Bronxites are excited about our campaign, I will remain the Democratic nominee for New York 14.
So let me break this down. So she is a just Democrat that ran against the fourth most powerful Democrat in the country, Joe Crowley. The media thought that he was invincible. We obviously thought otherwise. We covered her in about 36 videos before the election. She pulls off that stunning upset. Now everybody knows about her and she's all over the press. And here's this really progressive candidate and uncorrupted, doesn't take any corporate PAC money. So now she's super popular. Mm-hmm. And she's 14th district. In the 15th district, they have a primary. And the Reform Party has no candidate. And they encourage their followers to write in people. So they're like, well, who do I know who's also from the Bronx? Mm-hmm. And they look, do you know exactly which district you're in? Right? Especially if you live in a big state, in a big city, there's a ton of districts, and she's also from the Bronx. Like, I don't know, I like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, I'm gonna write her in.
Yeah.
And they're like, congratulations, you've won. You're the Reform Party candidate in the 15th district. In New York, you can't run, which is a good thing, for two different seats at the same time.
Right.
So she had to turn down her victory in the 15th district. It wouldn't have meant that she won the whole election. It just meant that she won the primary for the Reform Party in the 15th district.
Exactly. The reason why I say this is good news, I mean, it's obvious. She is a true progressive, and not only did she defeat an establishment Democrat for that primary, but you know, she's appealing to a lot of people. And that proves, again, that the mainstream media was completely wrong about her, that she was underestimated, and that her ideology actually does resonate with people. Now, you know, again, this is New York, so some might argue, well, it's New York, it's liberal. But if you look at polling on the issues, and you don't tie it to a specific political party, Americans are overwhelmingly supportive of the government programs that someone like Ocasio-Cortez is trying to defend and protect. And so I love that. I love to know that. It's like the little silver lining to an otherwise terrible political climate.
Well, couple of things. First of all, I want to thank our audience because you guys helped to get her elected. And now look at the giant difference that it made, which leads to the most important point here. Our idea together, and we're not just the Young Turks here, you're the Young Turks too, if you follow us, you subscribe to us, etc., was that if people hear progressive ideas, they will love progressive ideas. The problem is that without the corporate money, it is hard to get the progressive ideas out. Now you can if you get free media, but the establishment media had a blockade on us. Mm-hmm. So they didn't cover, for example, Esalen Hartson at all in California. They refused to talk about her, right? And with Ocasio-Cortez, you got a little bit of press before the election, and we figured out how to win. And it was through volunteers, and now we're doing it in many other races. Kanyella Ng, Brent Welder, etc. Washington Post now has a huge story about Brent Welder out of Kansas. And they realize, oh my God, these guys are for real. Mm-hmm. And now that Ocasio-Cortez got a little bit of, or no, to be fair, a lot of attention after her win, right? What happened? People are like, oh, I love it. I'm writing her in. I want her. Can she be my congresswoman? Of course, the people want someone who's going to represent them and is not taking corporate donor money and that they could trust. Of course, of course. All we needed was a little bit of free media to make that possible. And so here we are.
It's awesome. All right, so let's go to break with all that good news in mind. And when we come back, some other news.
All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you. Eclectic Miscellanea writes, and so Ocasio 2018 is even winning elections she's not running in. Now that's what I call too strong. Okay, indeed. Wesley Miller writes in again on YouTube Super Chat. Highly appreciative for the shout out, Cenk. I didn't know about your decision to read all Super Chats. I feel strongly about a great deal of issues and detest corruption. I've also written into the government. Wesley, look, I'm kidding around that I read every single YouTube Super Chat because we just don't have time. But I do try to emphasize those because honestly, they help the show and that's how we're all going to be progressive media together, okay? But I will read one more YouTube Super Chat here. Alan Dumont wrote in, please discuss the fact that Ocasio-Cortez has removed anti-war and net neutrality from issues on our website. I'm literally paying you to talk about it because people are trying to claim their corporate tentacles are already digging in. No, there's no way. I know her, I know the people who ran her campaign. Her campaign manager at the end was, I don't know if he was technically, but senior advisor, whatever he was, but the guy who ran her campaign, started the Justice Democrats with me. They are 100% for net neutrality and 100% anti-war. So I don't know what is going on with propaganda out there online, but that's total BS. No way that that's true. And lastly, the member shout outs today are Michael Gringas and Melissa Booker. Thank you for making this show possible. TYT.com/join. Tonight we got Old School for members, me, Michael Schur, John Iadarola. We're gonna have a lot of fun. And then in the post game, I'll finally tell you about my secret mission to Mexico.
Yes.
I've been promising that all week. I swear that we will get to it in today's post game. All right, Anna, what's next?
All right. Judge Napolitano has been making a lot of sense lately,
which
is strange. Now, the latest example of him making a lot of sense is when he was talking about Supreme Court pick Brett Kavanaugh. And he is saying something that I've actually heard a lot of other Republicans say, conservatives say. And so I just found that all fascinating and I wanted to share it with you. Take a look.
The Washington establishment, sometimes known as the swamp, wanted Judge Kavanaugh, and the people around the president wanted Judge Kavanaugh, led by Don McGahn, the White House legal counsel, longtime friend of Judge Kavanaugh, and they prevailed.
But are you suggesting?
So you're saying it's a swamp pick?
Yes, I'm saying that this is. I am disappointed in the president because this is not the type of person that he said he would pick. Justice Gorsuch was. This person is at the heart and soul of the D.C. establishment against whom the president railed.
Okay, so man, I got to give Napolitano a lot of credit. So what I'm looking for in this country is an honest debate. We don't have to agree all the time. As long as you're not doing talking points and you're not just reflexively on one person's side or one party's side, but you actually care about your ideology, whether you're right wing, left wing, somewhere in the middle, etc. That's a democracy that we're supposed to have. That what I can't stand is the talking points on television, and of course the politicians just representing their donors. So I've got a million disagreements with Napolitano, and some of his opinions are kooky, but he has been really principled through the Trump administration, and he was on several shortlists for Supreme Court. Now that's crazy, but he's just a guy on TV. But you know, Trump's nuts, and so
I forgot that he was a potential Trump nominee.
Right?
Do you think maybe he's salty?
No. Quite the opposite. I give him more credit because, knowing that he could have been on, that he was on some of Trump's list, at least according to Trump, he continued to, from time to time, criticize Donald Trump. It's not the first time he's doing it. It's now been at least a half a dozen times. So he's being honest, and whether you agree or disagree, I super appreciate the honesty.
Yeah, I do too, and I agree with you. I think the biggest issue in terms of polarized politics in America is that you don't have honest actors anymore.
Right.
You have people who, I mean, especially when it comes to someone like Trump, there are people on the right who have been raging against things that Trump is doing for decades, right? And then Trump comes into office, does exactly what they criticize other presidents of doing, and then they immediately change their tune.
And Napolitano hasn't.
Yeah.
And then you see so many others who think they might be able to get a good job, like, oh, Donald Trump, he's the best, he's the greatest. Here's Napolitano who could have an unbelievable job that, I mean, that would be nuts that that if he was, you know, nominated, but he, you know, there's some percentage chance. And no, he's not pulling his punches. Unlike the other betas in the Republican Party who are like, oh, I found an alpha, take my bananas, right? Napolitano is standing on principle. Look, I will not forget that. That's fantastic. And by the way, he's right about Kavanaugh's background. Now, you might love the Republican Party, but that guy is deeply enmeshed in Karl Rove, George W. Bush, Jeb Bush, and standard establishment Republican politics, serving the donors and doing whatever they want. Look, I'll tell you even a quick example here. One of the cases that Kavanaugh ruled on was a case involving SeaWorld. A killer whale had killed one of the trainers, and they were seeking workman's comp. I mean, if you can't get workman's comp from getting eaten by a killer whale, what can you afford? So now, it would have been okay, in my opinion, for a conservative judge to go, yeah, but it doesn't qualify because of X, Y, or Z. But Kavanaugh didn't rule that. he ruled, no, OSHA doesn't even have the right to regulate SeaWorld. So the killer whales can go kill people all they like that work at SeaWorld, and OSHA, which's job is to protect workers, is not allowed to protect the workers. Now, why does he do that? Because he is a swamp monster.
Jeez.
He has gotten everything he got from corporate donors. So that's him raising his hand saying, just like Gorsuch.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I disagree with Napolitano on that one, saying, I will let corporations do anything to their workers.
What was the Gorsuch ruling again in regard to the truck driver?
There was a truck driver who was freezing to death. His company ordered him to stay and freeze to death. He didn't. He went to safety, and they fired him. Every other judge that looked at it and said, yeah, you don't have to freeze to death if your company orders it. Gorsuch says, yes, you do. They had every right to fire you because you didn't listen to the orders. You should have stood there. By the way, it's not an exaggeration. He was freezing to death. He'd already gotten frostbite, and he started to lose feeling in his limbs. So he was on the precipice. And Gorsuch says, I don't care. If a corporation tells you to freeze to death, you freeze to death. Kavanaugh says, I don't care if a killer whale ate you. If a corporation says that was your job, you shut up and you do your job, and the government is not allowed to protect you. So that's who Kavanaugh is.
Wow.
They're amazing. Lastly, to end on a fun note, if you go back and watch the beginning of that video, I love Hegseth's reaction. He's the most pro-Trump guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy I was talking about, the beta, who's like, oh, Trump, right? And he thought he might get a couple of positions in the administration too. So in the beginning, he's like, Napolitano, yes, what, right? And then as Napolitano explains that Kavanaugh is a swamp, you see Hegseth going,
I know the best part about these Napolitano Trump criticisms is that, you know, the Fox and Friends especially, whenever he's on, they start off, you know, like jovial, everything's great, and then they do change their demeanor as Napolitano talks. It's interesting.
In this case, the other two hosts were fine, but look at the Hegseth on the video, not happy.
Yeah. All right, let's move away from politics for just a little bit and discuss this amazing story about an Apple engineer. An ex-Apple engineer has been arrested. In fact, he was arrested while he was at the airport attempting to leave the country and go to China because Apple has reason to believe that he was stealing the company's data and information on autonomous cars. So, of course, they have their own trade secrets, their own driverless car technology. And it appears that this former engineer was trying to sell that data and information to a Chinese-based tech firm. So he started working at Apple in December of 2015, and he has been accused of downloading files that included engineering schematics and technical reports before leaving to work for X Motors. It's called X Motors as well. So just putting that out there. Anyways,
okay, so
let me give you more information on this. At the time of his arrest, he said he was working for a Chinese startup that is also developing autonomous vehicles. I mean, he's already said some pretty incriminating things. He's going to be put away for 10 years. That's my guess.
That's the max he can get. Mm-hmm. And it, look, the government takes this stuff super seriously.
Yeah, the FBI was investigating
this. You steal from regular folks, okay, you steal from giant corporations, you're in a lot of trouble, friend. And so they did a lot of dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun to get this guy. So they're like, that's weird. He was on leave and then he went to China, even though he didn't tell us he was going to China, but we found out later. And then all of a sudden he starts downloading all this information from the Apple servers. And then we see him on video walking away with like a box and keyboards, etc. And they caught him. And he's like, well, you know, that's okay, and I'm going to go to China a month from now. And then he tries to sneak on a plane, and Apple's like, FBI, go get him, right? And
I just don't.
Yeah, and they nab him at the airport.
I don't get it, right? Like, so he was one of the Apple engineers that had it good, right? Mm-hmm. So there was a very select group of people who had access to this information. And he was part of that group. So that meant that he was valued, he was important in the company. He got a huge amount of time off for paternity leave, right? Like, you're living the life, dude. Like, just enjoy it and don't be a bad person. Like, don't go off and try to sell, you know, the company's secrets to a competitor in China.
Was it Hulk Hogan who you say, don't be a bad guy, be a good guy?
Yeah, okay. I just don't, I mean, most.
No, you know what it is? It's the same all over. Greed.
I know.
Endless greed. You have an amazing job. And by the way, Apple didn't want it getting out that they are even working on autonomous cars, but now it's out because they had to arrest this guy publicly. And by the way, they should. I think Apple did the right thing. You can't just have workers go and steal the things that everybody at the company worked on.
Right.
That's worth a ton of money, and then just bring it over to the next company, and that has consequences. So it is what it is, and I am impressed by their dun-dun-dun-dun-ness.
Yes, okay. Yes. I mean, they used surveillance. Let's go to graphic 21. Days before his resignation, his Apple network activity increased exponentially. Authorities allege that Zhang had downloaded copious pages of information from various confidential databases. Records and closed circuit TV footage also showed him entering the autonomous car software and hardware labs. He had even downloaded some of this information to his wife's private computer.
Yeah. So at first he said, no, I didn't take anything like that. Then they show him the video and he's like, yeah, okay, well, fine, I took it. But, you know, I was just going to work on it from home. Dude, you're already leaving the company. Okay, so he's not very done. They got him. Yesterday in the post game, I explained the origin of dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. And in fact, we even figured out it's ba-na-na-na-da-na-na. No, wait.
No, you
damn it, I got the banana thing wrong. Anyway, check out yesterday's postgame, tyt.com/join, for me to actually get the Mission Impossible song right. What was the banana thing? Banana. That wasn't it. That wasn't it.
Okay. You know what? Why don't we go to break and I'll give you some time to figure it out.
Okay. Well, I'll try to get the right banana when we come back. All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you guys. Lots of fun comments. Barbudo22 writes in on Twitter using hashtag TYTLive. That's it. I'm pulling a Cenk Uygur. I'm calling it Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez for president 2028, right after Sanders' second term. Okay, well, you've called it, so it's out there now. It's on tape. Tom Zawaki says, somebody please do a meme of Cenk hanging in the air with the Mission Impossible theme playing. Okay, let me try it one more time. I got it. Bump, bump, wait. Bump, 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 da-da, banana. Get a banana, banana.
Perfect.
Okay, Michael Norris says on YouTube Super Chat, on that note, I've heard several people ask, can I use Snap, the one that we explained earlier, the long comment? Absolutely, I don't have a copyright on it, hope it helps. Look at that, you put it into the world. We're not the Young Turks, you're the Young Turks, okay? The guy that does stuff says, for the guy that worried about Ocasio-Cortez's war stance, go to Ocasio2018.com/issues and click the heading, a peace economy. It's right there, top right of her issues.
Oh,
awesome. I love that. And one last one, Artificial Morphosman again, saying, please cover Julia Salazar for the Senate in New York, thanks. And we do take those suggestions seriously as well, and we cover a lot of those candidates in Rebel headquarters. And if you want to make suggestions, that's actually the best place to email it is rebelhq@tytnetwork.com. Okay, rebelhq@tytnetwork.com. And a lot of your suggestions have already been, I guess, on Rebel headquarters. And I wanted to show you guys, yesterday we launched Kaniella Ng campaign to hire a couple of volunteers, a couple of staffers to organize as volunteers, so that Justice Democrat could win in Hawaii. I wanted to check in on that. JusticeDemocrats.com/KaniellaNg. And so far it's at 3,598. They're only trying to get to 10,394 because there's only a month left in the election, and that's their. This was to the dollar calculated how much they need to hire those people to do the same plan as Ocasio-Cortez. Get the volunteers to make the calls and knock on doors. It worked before, it can work again in Hawaii. So justicedemocrats.com/KaniellaNg, okay? All right, what's next, Anna?
All right. Actor Sacha Baron Cohen, Actor Sacha Baron Cohen is coming out with a new movie. It's titled Who is America? It's actually not a movie, or is it?
It's a Showtime show.
It is a Showtime show, I apologize. So he's coming out with a Showtime show, and there are conservatives who are very upset about it, namely Sarah Palin, because he tricks them into thinking that he is a disabled veteran. And then he meets up with them to talk to them and has them do all sorts of funny things. So just to give you an example, here is his interaction with Dick Cheney, former vice president.
Dick Cheney, is it possible to sign my water board?
Sure.
That's a first. That's the first time I've ever signed a water board.
That I love. And he's been doing this for a long, long time as Ali G. You might know him as Bora, you might know him as Ali G. There's a bunch of characters, obviously, that he does. My favorite from the old Ali G was Newt Gingrich, where he kept having him spell his name. And and Newt was so bothered because he's like, you should already know me. Like, he got under his skin because of his ego, and it was a perfect way to get under his skin. And he's like, what, spell it again, that's, and he's like, G-I-N-G.
Oh my God.
I love that he got Cheney to sign the waterboard kit. I gotta say though, posing as a disabled veteran, I don't know about that, man.
Yeah, okay, so it's a show, it's a comedic show, and I feel like, I always feel uncomfortable, whether it's a joke that, you know, offends progressives or a joke that offends conservatives. I hate policing comedy. I don't agree with it. But I had the same reaction where it's like, disabled veteran. I don't really want to get into that conversation because, again, I think comedy should be allowed to be comedic, right?
Yeah, have a wide berth. And now I'd be curious to see what conservative online reaction is. I get that conservatives in Washington will be outraged. They're outraged by everything. But the conservatives online, they say, hey, man, liberals judge comedians too much.
They do say that. They
right?
do say
they
that.
Say, hey, you guys are being too politically correct. I mean, I hope you guys aren't going to be politically correct.
Right, right. And that certainly is, in some cases, a valid criticism, right? So anyway. Let's get that out of the way because I want to talk about what Sarah Palin's reaction was. Because it plays into, you know, the projection that we see from the right wing over and over again. So here's what she had to say. She posted about it on Facebook because apparently she was also victimized by Sacha Baron Cohen. She was duped, and she says so. She says, yep, we were duped. You got me, Sasha. Feel better now? I join a long list of American public personalities who have fallen victim to the evil, exploitative, sick behavior, sick humor of the British comedian Sacha Baron Cohen, enabled and sponsored by CBS Showtime. She continues to write say that she and her daughter traveled across the country to meet Cohen in disguise, while he was in disguise, of course. She says that she experienced an interview full of Hollywoodisms, disrespect and sarcasm, and that she removed her microphone and left. Okay.
So I am amused by the idea that Sarah Palin would go in disguise. She'd be like, oh yeah, dun dun dun, right back at you.
Okay, but dun, dun, dun. Just take it easy. Like she, it really got to her, man.
Oh yeah, yeah, she did. She don't like that.
You don't like that.
So, and again, I don't know if this part is true. If it is, this is gratuitous. She claims that the staff then drove her to the wrong airport on purpose so they would miss their flight back to Alaska. I don't trust anything Sarah Palin says, so I don't know if that's true or untrue. If it was true though, I'd be bothered by that.
Yeah, me too, definitely. Yeah. I'd
like,
be
you already got
on
her and you got her for the show. You don't need to rub it in and do that move. But anyway, but we don't know if that's true. Now, is Sacha Baron Cohen evil as Sarah Palin suggests? Well, I guess it depends on your perspective, but let me give you a sense of who this guy is. He's Orthodox Jew and has given over $1 million to help Muslim immigrants, refugees, I should say, okay? So now if you're a right winger, you're like, I can't believe he's helping Muslim refugees. If you're a decent person, you go, See, now that's an open-minded guy who has done something incredibly magnanimous to help the most powerless and downtrodden people in the country, you know, in the world, I should say, those refugees that are absolutely devastated. Mm-hmm. So he put his money where his mouth is, and both him and his wife have done incredible charity. So keep that in mind as well.
Yes. All right, moving on. Cenk, tell me about feminists who are attracted to benevolent men.
I will tell you about that. This is a fascinating story.
It really is.
So there's a fascinating new study out. It was done by Iowa State University, and it tracked how women react to quote unquote benevolent sexism. Now, is that even a thing? Well, let's find out. First, let me quote here. Women tend to be more attached to men who view females as pure and nurturing, but also weak and needing extra care, an attitude that has been named benevolent sexism. That's the conclusion of a new study published in Personality and Social Psychology Bulletin. It's a real study, okay? Now, one study doesn't mean it's the end all be all, but it is a fascinating conclusion, and I'm not overly surprised by it, to be honest with you. There's an extra twist for feminism in a second, okay, but let me give you more details. In the study, benevolent sexist men were described as believing that women should be cherished and protected by men and should be helped before men in emergency situations. They were also described as giving their coat to a woman in the cold and opening doors for her. Whereas the men who were not sexist in that definition, and by the way, the people who did the study do not agree with the term benevolent sexism. They're like, look, that's just what's used in common parlance, but we don't believe that those people are necessarily quote unquote sexist. Now, the ones that are egalitarian, the men who are egalitarian, said, no, you know, I don't need to open a door, we could share the bill, et cetera, and apparently women did not like that as much. Hey, look, facts are facts, whether they're inconvenient or they're not inconvenient. We should never make the same mistake as the right wing. Well, if I don't like those facts, I'm just gonna ignore them. I'm gonna call them fake news.
Right.
Okay, now speaking of inconvenient, one last one here. Feminist women were as likely as non-feminist women to prefer benevolent sexist men over more egalitarian men. Mm. Drums.
Yeah, that is drums.
Okay, I have my thoughts, really. You're more relevant here because you're a woman and you, you know, you have dealt with a lot of men who are in that range. What's your take?
I think this is fake news. No, I'm kidding. Okay. Actually, my thoughts on this are complicated. Okay. So I do identify as a feminist. However, I do get a lot of backlash from other women who identify as feminists because I do think that men and women are biologically different. Look, I love femininity. I love being feminine and I love wearing high heels. I love doing things that, you know, some feminists reject. So the reason why I'm pointing this out is because there are a lot of variations among feminist ideology, okay? And so I actually am attracted to things that, okay, I'll give you an example. So I don't ever want to be considered mentally or when it comes to intellect, I don't want to feel as though the man that I'm with is putting me down and thinking that I'm inferior in that regard. However, physically speaking, yeah, I'm weaker. So I'll give you an example. 2 years ago, as I was hiking with my husband at Runyon Canyon in Los Angeles, a man physically assaulted me. He came up to me. I was filming him because he started getting violent with my husband, right? And I'm filming him on my phone. And I told him, I'm filming you with the hopes that he would stop. And then he essentially ran up to me, grabbed my phone, pushed me to the ground. Within seconds, I don't know how this happened, but my husband had his hand around his neck, pinned on the ground, and told him, give her phone back. And that turned me on. I'm just keeping it 100, right? And so, do I want to be protected in situations like that? Yes. Did my husband do that? Yes. I don't know if that's considered benevolent sexism, but
It's a weird term.
It is a weird term, and I do like chivalry, right? I also like equality of opportunity in the workplace. That's where my feminism really is targeted. Yeah. It's complicated. Feminism is complicated. You know, gender dynamics and relationships are complicated. And I think that we should be honest about that.
Yeah. So first of all, we covered that in a post game. That was dramatic. TYT.com/join to become a member, get all the post games where we talk more about our personal lives. So my take on this is of course, unsurprisingly, very similar to yours in that to me, what feminism means and why I would call myself feminist as well is it's really, really simple. Same rights for men and women. And you could be open a door for a woman or give her your coat and still believe they should have equal rights. I don't think that those things have to contradict one another. By the way, some people on the left might. And if you think it's everybody on the left, that's just total right wing propaganda. Oh, they're all crazy and they all think if you open a door for them once, they're gonna shout at you and hate you. No, and by the way, I'm not saying that nobody does that, but I think it's a tiny minority, right? Mm-hmm. So do I give my coat to my wife if she's cold? Of course I do. By the way, I'd give it to anyone who was cold. Mm-hmm. I give it to my kids, I give it to my friends if they were cold and I'm not as cold, right? That's what a decent human being should do. And would I protect my wife, etc.? Of course I would. And there's nothing wrong with being strong. Being strong is fantastic. What's our slogan on the Young Turks? Too strong, right? So you can do that and still respect people.
Yes, exactly.
Right, yeah. And that should not be a hard balancing act. That should actually be relatively easy. The next thing that the people who did this study want to look into next is, are guys faking it? Mm-hmm. Are some of them faking it, and are women recognizing that? What does it mean to fake benevolent sexism? Mm-hmm. What it means is they don't really think that women are weaker and need to be more nurtured, but some of them might be doing it as a device to pick up women, to court women, okay?
Yeah.
Now, I'll tell you, and this might be controversial, and we'll talk about this in a post game as well. I did that. I adjusted my courting habits of women because women want strength. There's no question about it. I don't think there's any question about it. But being strong doesn't mean you have to be a jerk.
Right, yeah. I mean, it depends on what your definition of strength is. And I think that a lot of times it gets misinterpreted as someone being a jerk, right?
So I'll tell that story in the postgame, tyt.com/join to become a member. But it is an interesting study, and whether you agree or disagree with it, that's science. And it's not the end all be all of science, not the only study in the world, but it's interesting.
Yeah.
All right, one last quick story.
All right. NFL star LeSean McCoy was accused assaulting his ex-girlfriend. So this story, I'm just gonna be honest, it's sketchy. But don't make any judgments because we don't know for sure what really happened. But apparently his ex-girlfriend was attacked. Her name is Delicia Corden, and she was sleeping. Apparently someone walked into her home in Georgia. There were no signs of forced entry. And this individual had pistol whipped her and demanded specific jewelry that McCoy had given her and demanded she give back to him after they had split up. Now, her friend posted the photo of her all bloodied, and we're gonna show you the photo. It is graphic, so if you're uncomfortable with that, fair warning, take a quick look. That's a terrible picture, terrible assault. And so her friend had accused McCoy of doing this assault. And then later, she took this post down off of social media. Now, the legal firm representing Corden said that she was attacked around 3 a.m. Tuesday morning as she slept in her Georgia home that she shares with a football star. The pair is currently estranged, and he has been trying to evict her from this home for a while. So they're in the middle of the eviction proceedings. She was physically assaulted in the home by a male assailant who entered the home, again, with no signs of forced entry. Now, we're now learning that McCoy does not appear to have been in the state at the time of this assault, okay? And that's according to the woman's lawyer's statement. And so something that you should keep in mind, and what I find interesting is that the court of public opinion, I mean, it makes its decision immediately.
Yeah.
So
Look, I had no reason to doubt her story or her friend's story that she put out on Instagram. And it's clear that McCoy wanted that jewelry back. It's clear they're having issues because they're in legal proceedings against each other. It's clear that there was no forced entry. So it points to McCoy. But if they now concede that he was out of state. But I thought this is interesting because McCoy vehemently denies it. He says, I definitely didn't do it. And there was... The authorities would not say that it was a McCoy. That was interesting. So look, this is a developing story. It just happened. When we have more details, we can give it to you. But with all these stories, especially in the beginning, reserve judgment until you know all the facts.
Exactly.
But it is devastating injuries to her either way. All right. Bye-bye.